Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am live today on June 10th. So excited to be here with you. And I have my very special guest, my radio show producer, Jay, is going to be jabbing along with me. I say jabbing, yapping. We're going to talk. We're going to have some fun because I am in a mood. Ha. Yeah, I'm sure many of you are feeling it too. Let's just say I got some attitude going on today. And I'll talk about that. Some of that is just energetic influences, and I'm trying not to fight it. At the same time, I don't like it, but we'll just talk about it. And, you know, having a playmate like Jay is going to, I think, help shift some of that with me. So I'm very grateful for that. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome, welcome. If you are a regular listener, welcome back. And just so excited that you're able to be here. And we're going to talk about what's up energetically. Jay and I, like I say, we're going to play a bit. I know many of you probably know Jay with all the wonderful shows that he does and being a 1-2 listen advisor as well. And I can give a wonderful long intro for him. He also has a beautiful bio on 1-2 Listen, so certainly check that out. But one of the things that I can appreciate that really stands out for me with Jay is that you can feel and sense his big heart, and he just has such a love for life and for the work that he does and being there for you guys and all of this creativity that lives inside of him and that he's sharing so generously with all of us. So welcome, Jay. Thanks for joining me.
Wow, Jamie, what an introduction. I feel like I'm blushing a little bit. Thank you so much for welcoming me in to your world on your show in such a way. I'm so grateful to be able to be here with you, to have some fun conversations, and to get into some great topics.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I said I'm in a mood. I have a bad attitude today. I woke up with a bad freaking attitude. And no matter what I do, I can't shake it. And it's really more internal. It's not like I'm treating somebody badly because of it. But my internal conflict is way, way up. And I'm put some pins on the map, which has been talked about already. But it's the energy that we're feeling. We have Mars squaring off with Pluto. It'll be exact tomorrow. But when you've got this planet Mars, as we know, which is all about aggression and assertion and motivation, action and getting things done, with powerhouse forceful Pluto, the one that brings up the unknown or the things we can't prepare for, and God bless us all, at least this control freak. I hear the phrase, blessed are the flexible, for they're never bent out of shape. Well, I am so bent out of shape right now. I have made plans and they're not working the way I wanted them to. Yeah, for me, it's my heart and my gut. It's my solar plexus and heart. Those two are playing some magical notes right now where, you know, for me, I want what I want. I'm being a brat. And I don't want it to change. I want it to be based on my terms, you know. I fully admit. I truly believe, as human beings, having that emotions, and as Tatiana and I talked about it on our show the last 2 weeks, the empathy, you know, that the emotions are what helps us as human beings evolve, right, and be even more fully human. So you're allowed to feel what you feel. I'm allowed to have my internal temper tantrum. It's just what I do with it, you know, makes a difference. So, yeah. What do you do when you have these conflicts or these moods come up, Jay? What's your go-to?
For me, it's so I guess everybody just was telling me that I wasn't heard, and now I understand why I wasn't heard. So everybody should be able to hear me now. So thank you all for being willing to jump right in and let me know. But to answer your question, because it's different, because for me at first in my younger years, I would really be lost in in my head, in the obsession of needing people to see me a certain way, feeling that they weren't seeing me a certain way, and then being obsessed with whatever I needed to do to like change that. And so I'd be like in the obsession and not in my body. Mm-hmm. And certainly not paying attention to like what I wasn't paying any attention to Jay And I didn't even realize I wasn't. And now that I understand I have to pay attention to myself, and I've also wrangled that obsessed part of me, I usually feel it now mostly come up in my head. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm way up in my head. And I can feel it and notice it right away. And then I have, you know, my little tools to work on it. But I also know it's not like a light switch that you can turn on and off. Like it's something, you know, our states of being, I feel like they're like emotions. We kind of, they ebb and flow and they're one into the other.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that answers your question exactly how you asked it, but.
Yeah, I mean, we all have different things that we do, you know, like normally going to the gym helps to regulate my mood because I can get some of my aggression. When I'm in these kinds of moods, I can get my aggression out on the weights or go running or whatever. And I didn't even feel like doing that today. It was, you know, just one of those things where it's like, ugh. So I went for a nice long walk out in the sun. It just gets very hot. It's really hot here in Reno. But I went for a walk and, you know, that every little bit helps. It's just, it's still lingering. Mm. And like I say, it's one of those where you just don't fight it. You know, when that's the gift of mystery school is going, every time I go back, I get to practice the tools on a very embodied, deeper level than just doing it by myself at home. I get to do it with a group of people, and it's very, very powerful. But then I always laugh when I get back home because it's like, okay, now here's the real mystery school, which is life. And I have to practice. And there's one practice I do called the Four Surrenders, and you're just surrendering everything to Mother Earth, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, practice to do. And I do notice relief with it, but like I say, it just seems like right now, whatever tool I'm using is giving me a little bit of grace, but it's not gone. So I'm just sharing that with the audience so that they can get, hopefully be easy on themselves if they're catching themselves in that place.
And I have a question about what you just said too. And I'm curious, like, if you give any instruction in the school on how to integrate back at home. And the reason why I say that is because I know, like, in my plant medicine experience, or like when I've done sweats for like weekends and go into a more spiritual kind of space and come back, that is the real test of like, how am I going to implement it back in my real life? While also acknowledging the magic of what was there, but also knowing that that can't always be. But it has been a thing for me to have to get used to, and I see a lot of people struggle with that. Like, or they go to a big rah, 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 you know, weekend and get all, you know, turned up and excited, and then all that energy is not there anymore when they're back home, and then they feel like they've done something wrong. So do you have any go-to ways that you keep yourself going through that integration process, and or anything that, you know, anyways, I don't want to ask too much of a question, but that's
yeah, I mean, one of the things that I do is I pick one practice because there's always, I mean, at mystery school, there's a practice for every gate. We call them gates for the chakras, but the teachings that are that come through the teachers, and then the practices that come from that, and the embodied experiences that we have while we're there. I mean, I can't do all of them all the time, so I'll pick one or two to really practice. But of course, the joke being, the minute you pick one, you're going to have the opportunity to practice, right? So like the Four Surrenders is the practice of the week, if you will. And so I'm being forced right now to surrender to the things I don't have control over. I can express what I want, but at the end of the day, there are certain exterior circumstances that I just have to let go of, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. And where I get into trouble for myself in that is, it's easy for me to let the priority be on the other person. Like, I naturally have an inclination to do that. And now that when I do want to stick up for something, or I do really have a perspective and want to hold it, and it doesn't go my way, I have to kind of temper my own little inner bitch teenager when he gets pissed off that it's not going his way. Because it's like, I only ask a few things and this isn't even going to work. And so anyways, I know that that's such a bad attitude, and when I know that that's coming up, I know that I gotta slow down and have a little chat with myself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm finding my sense of humor with myself when I'm in these moods because, you know, I start to unpack it. And what it all boils down to is there's something bigger than just me here. It's not just about me. And it doesn't mean I can't want what I want, but I would rather have peace and joy in my life. And so letting it go and just saying I surrender to it, I find my joy and peace returning because it's like, eh. It's not worth hanging on to. You know, I found that quote that I love so much, which is, it's painful letting go, but it's hanging on is suffering. So I'm going to let go.
Sometimes I wish that I had access to some of these teachings early on, but at the same time, I don't know that I would have heard them or practiced them until I was ready. I'm kind of answering my own question as I say it. But at the same time, when we are in that space and we do get a chance to practice, like you said, and we go for it, and we don't just go for it once, you know, we allow ourselves to go through that practice however the universe wants to bring it to us. And it usually is not just one time, but that there is something that really comes out of us that's new, special, more balanced, more stable, and also... if there is any kind of limiting belief going on, usually it allows for that to get like diminished because you prove to yourself that limit isn't even a real limit. That was just something that you were telling yourself and you just proved that you got around it, you know, as a way to help to start to dismantle all that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the other things as we're talking about how to integrate after an experience or initiation is to remember, I mean, when you go through those initiations, like you're talking about a sweat, like you're talking about with plant medicine, whatever, is that very often it's important to record your experience in some way, whether it's journaling, whether it's recording it, literally sharing it, whatever. What you want to be careful of course, is not to dissipate your experience, but at the same time, we have these initiations in order to go back home. And then let's just say, I'll use the sweat. I've done sweats before too. We'll say, use that as the example. When you're in the sweat and it's dark and it's hot and and you are just, you get to that point, just really watching the movement of your mind, you know, and you get to that place of true surrender and release, all those toxins releasing, all those thought forms releasing, I mean, just all this. And for me anyways, the last sweat I did, it was, I had this sense of grounded presence, but I wasn't numb. You know, there's a real difference. Sometimes people go, yeah, I'm grounded. I don't feel a thing. Nothing bothers me. And it's like, nah, let's not get to the place where we're robots, you know?
Right.
Grounded is more like I'm feeling it. Like I feel very grounded right now. So even though I'm in a mood, I'm grounded enough to say, okay, I'm not going to project this onto something else, you know, or to someone else. And so I can take myself back to the sweat experience. And because I've had the embodiment of that experience, I can bring it to this moment. So that's another way to integrate.
You said that so beautifully. I couldn't say it so eloquently, but I've had the experience in the sense of like where I started and where my mind would go with when I first started doing sweats to then doing it a couple of years later, and not that some of the same anxieties or fears don't come up, but at the same time, I also noticed that I had this quiet confidence that I could be in my body, be in that very, very uncomfortable space, and also be just fine with it. Like not let that, the feeling I had when my first time where I thought I was gonna have to like climb over like people to get out because I wasn't sure if I was gonna be able to stay in one moment longer. And just the difference, you know, and so I think we too want the difference to be in certain ways and we want it to be like yesterday, but in circles like that and in initiations like that, those usually it's something that happens over time. And when we put some consistency to it, it doesn't. Yeah. Anyways, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you mentioned Well, it's a thought I had. I'm going to mix your words a little bit if I try and
No
repeat it.
worry,
But I was
please.
just thinking about when we're in that place of resistance, or we're in a situation like an initiation where it's dark, it's confined, it brings up our fears, our insecurities, that sort of thing. We often default to what is familiar instead of staying with it and just noticing what's on the other side of that. You know, like you're saying, you're just like, I'm ready to get out of this sweat. Okay, I'll stay a little bit longer. I'll stay a little bit longer. And that's really, the gift of it is just to, again, watch that movement of your mind. A lot of it, most of it, is mind created. Not saying you're not going to have a physical reaction. I know there's some people in sweats that, their physical body just can't handle that kind of heat. But yeah.
Totally. And honestly, I can say I've experienced both with my body, and that experience where I knew it was totally a creation of my mind, and then where I knew my body needed to get out. And I think that there's something to learning that difference too. I think that's part of learning how for us to be able to trust our intuition in those high stress, high energy kind of moments that we can have for ourselves or with ourselves. But still be able to find a way to still hear that still small voice within and to be able to listen to it. And also to like in the case of a sweat, it's a very community oriented experience. Everybody I feel is in a certain kind of way holding each other's stuff and lifting it up together. So it's like and so it's also a safe space to like speak up and share. And so it gave me another chance to find my voice too, in the sense of being able to speak up for my needs when I would usually not say a word, even if I really needed help. I would find a way to just figure it out. But that isn't really always great in real life. So.
Well, something that stood out for me with you and your bio, and then just in conversation with you, is that you found a challenge from early in life, and but you said in your bio you found a way to overcome that adversity, to find your center, that sort of thing. Do you have a go-to for finding that center, or has it evolved over the years?
Honestly, it's evolved over the years, and it's a lot of different things. I feel like it's I know where I kind of where the trajectory changed for me. I was working corporate life. I was working for a mortgage company that was about to go out of business because of the subprime mortgage crisis. And I was heavy duty into cocaine at the time. And I just remember thinking to myself, is this really what life is about? Like, did I really come here to be strung out on cocaine, hating my job, hating my life? What is really going on here? Like, what am I missing, and what else can I be doing that I can get some joy and happiness? And the universe started to answer that question, and it led me to therapy. It led me to Cocaine Anonymous for a short time, but like finishing my recovery with a therapist, and then getting into different like angel classes at the time, and getting like learning like Reiki. And for me, it was all about learning how to understand what I was already seeing and feeling. I always feel like I don't remember a time not being connected and being able to see and feel myself and other people. And just kind of, in a certain kind of way, see the other side. But I have not always known how to trust it and be so steady and stable with it. That has taken me going into all these different places and continuing. I don't think I'm ever going to be done learning or growing. But that's what set me in a whole other direction that has led me to now. Where I don't even think about cocaine, which is, I think it would make my heart jump out of my out of my skin, and it would make me nuts. It wouldn't be something I would enjoy. So to be able to feel that and know that, compared to like the spaces I would be where am I going to get my next baggie? That's a very different space. Very, very different space.
Yeah, cool. We talk at mystery school, people ask about plant medicine because, I mean, I personally believe in plant medicine and I've had a couple of experiences and I find it very profound. And but I also feel that there's a lot of people who don't have the foundational what's the word I'm looking for? The qualities or the foundational skills, if you will, before experiencing plant medicine, that it could take them to places that they aren't prepared for. Anyways, at mystery school, we talk, the question does come up is how does plant medicine, or they've had an experience of plant medicine and in trying to integrate and, all that sort of thing. And what I have experienced in doing the spiritual practices is I can get the same euphoria, the same high, if you will, from doing the spiritual practices as I can with plant medicine or anything else. So I always found that fascinating.
I can say for myself, I'm really glad that I took my time with the plant medicine because I really, really wanted to experience it, and then it wasn't available to me, and then I kind of relaxed, and then the right group for me came around. Because I think in plant medicine case, it's the medicine itself, where it's sourced from, and also the group who's holding the circle is also matters. The people there matter. And so, and but at the same time, I had profound experiences too, where I was able to see sides of myself and interact with sides of myself that I had tried to gain access in other ways, but hadn't yet. But it gave me access, and it really did help heal some things for me. And I don't think it's for everyone, but I do think it is helpful for those that it calls you. Like it's, I think it's the kind of thing that people can make it sound cool and romanticize it. And it is in a certain kind of way, all those things. But like Jamie said, it can open things up and it can show you things. It can remind you or like bring back experiences that you had blocked out that you may not be ready for, but there it is, and you're gonna have to deal with it now that it's there. And so that's where I say it's not just something to run right into.
Yeah, I think if you haven't cultivated that interior state, that's what I was looking for. If you hadn't cultivated that, then it can become I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but it definitely can get confusing. It's like you were talking about your experiences through life. You may not have been ready for those teachings that you have now because the interior state hadn't been tilled or the soil hadn't been cultivated to allow those seeds to be planted and to fully take root. I think of that parable by the master teacher who was like, the bird, how the sower, which one I'm talking about, Jay, the sower and the seeds, and the sower throws out the seeds onto rocky ground and they didn't take, and then the sower throws the seeds onto thorny ground and it got choked out and then onto the fertile ground and it sprouted. And so really that the teaching was about the mind and about the initiate. And if they are not ready, if they're resistant, if they've already got their mind made up and they're unteachable, if they haven't done the work to cultivate the interior state of mind, state of body, state of spirit, then the seeds will just choke out or they won't even land,
That's a, I know that's familiar to me. I feel like I've got that teaching another, like from kind of another way, but it's profound in the sense of yes, because it puts it back on us of in the sense of not blaming anybody for what's happening or not happening, but also understanding that it's a process, like from the seed all the way up to the tree or the vegetable producing vegetable plant, like those things take time. And I know for myself when I first started down this journey of turning myself back on, so to speak, I just wanted to like quicker, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry. And all the time spirit was like, slow down, there's no rush, and if you try, we're just going to keep you right where you are. And I just didn't, I wanted to get through it. But when I would lean into it and let it come more organically, and then it would come, I would come all around with it, it was like, oh, now I understand why Spirit wanted this to go in the way that it did. I get it now. But I didn't get it in the moment. I was like, oh, tapping my foot, pulling my hair out, let's go. But it's the kind of thing that the more I saw how that worked, the more I now know I can lean back and I don't need to be so hurried and rushed. But that's, I've had to learn that through experience.
Yeah. Experience is our greatest teacher.
Totally.
As they say. And yeah, there's some experiences I look back on and I go, yeah, I think I could have done without that one.
Oh my God, there's a lot that I could say that about. But at the same time, I really feel we are who we are because of every little thing that we've gone through or experienced.
Yeah,
and for it's sure. Like, there's definitely ones I don't want to repeat, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of experiences, we have another turn of the sun into Cancer next week on the 20th for the summer solstice. And then we have a full moon right after that in the sign of Capricorn. And I'm bringing this up because I just want to talk about, kind of put some pins on the map for future moments. Because a lot of our listeners, they're wanting to know, just like the rest of us, what's going to happen next? Or what do I do when this initiation or this situation shows up? You know, how do I meet it? And so giving these kind of energetic pins can prepare us to say, okay, I may wake up tomorrow in a bad mood because... And it's not, I have a choice, but the interesting thing is that for me, with this mood that I've been in, that I woke up with, it wasn't necessarily a story that I created or anything else. It was, I can't force it to go away. I can't say, okay, just be happy then, you know, or just be in a good mood. So anyway, so I put these pins on the map. And when we're this next weekend into the following week, we're going to be dealing with a lot of Cancer energy. We're coming out of Gemini now soon as Mercury and Venus will move into Cancer and the sun moves into Cancer and all that. But before we run away from Gemini, have you felt a little bit lighter, maybe a little more connecting, wanting to socialize, that sort of thing? Because when we move into the sign of Cancer, we're going to feel a little more rooted, more family-oriented, more mothering, that sort of thing.
For me, it's been both. Like, I have come out, I've noticed where I've had the spotlight to shine down on where I could step out of my comfort zone socially, and I've been working on that, and that's come up. But then I've also felt like just this extra heaviness that just feels like almost like I have just this water, like I'm moving through water, and like I'm like my eyes are like very tired, and it's just like I can't quite seem to get enough sleep. That's how I've been feeling this energy, which I thought I would experience different because I know Gemini can be more of that, you know, get up and go inspirational energy. So I don't know if I'm if my own resistance is fighting that or what exactly is happening, but it's a mixed bag for me over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel the energy shifts like with the new moons, the full moons, things like that? Does any of that ever trigger for you?
Totally. All the time. And
yeah.
Mark was the first person to get me to pay attention and journal about that. To look at like how certain moons affected me more than others. And I'd already done like moon circles and just different things, to pay attention and work with the moon. But for whatever reason, I never made the connection to actually look at how the astrology part. So adding that element has really helped to help me understand my feelings, put words to them, and then also be able to either work with it or plan for how I can better ride with some of the moons that are a little more challenging for me.
Yeah, cool. I started picking up, years ago I did a moon journal where I would journal every different shift or phase of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
What sign it was in, you know, where it was aspecting in my chart and where it was aspecting in the sky and all that. And this year I decided to pick it back up and start notating and journaling about it because I like to look at the themes and the patterns that arise. And it's like, oh, okay, I understand. Because I'm a Cancer sun, so my sun is obviously ruled by the moon being Cancer and everything. So, you know, the moodiness is not uncommon, if you will. And so just watching the where the moon is helps to give me that language, or not blame, you know, but it does give me a language or an idea of like, oh, okay, I'm kind of expecting this today.
It definitely helps me understand, for sure. Same, because I don't always pay attention to it, but I can feel when the energies shift and change. And so sometimes I feel something and I'm like, what's this? And that's when I go pull up the Mark's Power Peak to go see, you know, more specifically what's happening in those cases. I've seen your posts too. I love when you post about the moon. I always go look up my sign so I can see what's specifically going on for me, and it always rings true.
Cool. Yeah. I try and watch when I'm channeling the new and full moon memes, and I do them by sign, as you pointed to, I try and watch to make sure that I'm not projecting my own things onto it, you know, because I try and be as neutral as possible with it. So
I feel like it comes across where you really do are able to get into the vibe of each sign and be able to express that. And like you said, it's not easy when you have the filter of just the way you see it.
Yeah.
letting yourself go to a bit of a higher perspective.
Well, I fully admit that I have to keep that human part of me in check, because there's times where I look at the new and full moon and I may want something to manifest in my life, and it's like, okay, Cancer, here is your full moon. This is what you get to let go of, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, no, that would be me trying to force the universe into, you know, saying, give me this now, kind of thing. So I fully admit I don't post that. I don't write that. But I have had moments where I'm human. I'm going to get frustrated and I'm going to want what I want and all of that sort of thing. So, you know.
How has it been for you to temper that part of yourself that has that very human side and desire, while also you're all, like, open, you've opened yourself up to see the other side and to let in other perspectives?
Well, this is where I truly believe discipline comes into play. And I'm a very disciplined individual. Part of that is just my upbringing. And I can point to astrologically, I also have the sun conjunct Cancer. So, you know, when you've got disciplinary Cancer involved, it kind of keeps you rigid. Plus, I have a Capricorn rising, which is ruled by Saturn. So anyways, all those to, you know, I can, like I say, blame, if you will, or point to it astrologically. But I was raised in a military home and discipline was a big stressor. And I played sports. And so in order for me to excel at the sports that I played, I had to practice. And I would play basketball. It was one of my main sports. And I would literally shoot 100 free throws a day, every day. And I didn't make it all 100, but that was the goal, right? And it was, I never considered practice to be over until I'd shot 100 free throws. So again, you know, going back to our spiritual practices or the work, you know, how do I keep myself in check? It's the discipline inside that says, wait a minute, how am I being of service to others if I'm just being self-serving? So
that's a great question to ask that gets right to the heart of it. And because it's not always easy to, I just feel like this reality is so upside down, we can get pulled in a lot of directions. And if we're trying to make a change and our patterns are also like tugging at us, it can get kind of wild. That's why it's great to have some help and support if you are in the midst of some kind of major change. But I love that in a certain kind of way, like from this perspective, talking about everything from the moon and astrology, it's like the universe supports us with all these different, it's like it gives us these different energies to work with so we can go through these different changes, and it just naturally is a part of the experience.
Right. Well, here's a fun question that I think you and I have explored before. I don't remember if it was on air or just behind the scenes, but I have this interesting belief that our reality, if you will, is a simulation. It's a part of the mind that we're all contributing to, but it's like this one big simulation. And in my mind, that helps me not take it too seriously. What about you? Where do you land on something like that?
the way that I see it is we're all connected to the same source that's somehow, some way animating us all. And so, of course, I can have my own opinion and view of it, but I also know, yes, I'm a part of like this bigger system. And I feel like we all are. And regardless of our beliefs or whatever, like that, the things that can maybe make people feel separated or individualized or different. But I rest in that because I know at the end of the day, the same Holy Spirit I feel like I communicate with when I get messages is the same, I feel like, Holy Spirit that's coming through us all, moving through our own, you know, moving through our hands, our feet, our brain, our emotions to go out in the world. So I don't know. To me, I get lost in the overwhelming mystery of that, like how there is this quote thing called God that can somehow have an individualized experience through me and also be like having this collective experience that it's doing through everyone. And then also the overarching, like whatever the heck matrix thing, simulation that it's contained within. That just like all those things kind of blow my mind because they're like, to me, they're paradoxes, but they all kind of still work together in a certain kind of way.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think I could say it this way. This is how it often gets expressed at in the circles that I run with, and that is, we're all individual, unique expressions of one divine voice, one divine expression. Yes. So that interconnectedness. So I'm going to switch to something a little less philosophical and more getting to know Jay and having some fun. All right. Here's my question. If you could start a rumor about yourself, what would it be?
That's a really interesting question for me because I'm usually so not wanting people to talk about me. I don't want to be in the spotlight. It's actually, I know I have to put myself out there for what I do, but that has not come easy for me. And so it's like, ooh, I wouldn't want to start anything. But you're also helping me see like, okay, if I was just more playful and I didn't take things so seriously.
Maybe we should ask the audience what rumors we can start about you and me.
Trying to think of like a way that I could come across more like eccentric or something, or I don't know, but it's not coming to me. But I love throwing it to the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what kind of rumors they can come up about Jay. Did you hear?
This will be fun.
I heard that Jay has a secret life.
That's going to be fun to see what people come up with.
That would be fun. Well, and here's another question for you. The most hilarious fashion trend or movie that you secretly love.
Oh, wow. You really are giving me some. I always love the more ethereal movies and costumes that come to life in the movie, but that you wouldn't necessarily find in real life. That's what I get drawn to and what I like is fun for me about movies because they can express those things that we might see in our inner sight, but they actually, you know, come up with a physical representation. So that's, I love that.
So like what, like Avatar? Well,
like fairies, like stuff that like gets more into like the fairy realms or pixies or those kind of like energies or spirits that come to life in the way that they do it in Hollywood. It's just fun to see different people's representations, and it makes me, though I guess to bring it back to me, I always think about like what it'd be like to, you know, be able to dress up and kind of play that role.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I love movies. I love watching them and going to the theater and that sort of thing. But I was thinking actually today on my walk, I was like, you know, being an actress would be so much fun because you just get to do what you love and get paid for it, you know? And then I was like, well, wait a minute. I love what I do as a psychic too. So You know, can't complain there. But I was just, and all the costumes, that's what made me think of this question, because I was like, I could put on this costume and be that character. I don't have to be Jamie for a while. You know what I mean?
Right. No, and I missed that. I did theater in high school and college, and I kind of missed that for that reason, because you really can put on a different character and you go out on stage and you get to go be that for a while. And there is something about being able to, you get a kind of break from your own life. It's true.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need that. Sometimes you want that. You know, it's like, okay, I just need a break from being me for a while. Let me be somebody else. It's just more fun that way. Maybe that's why I love Halloween so much too, because I can put on a costume and pretend. I tend to lean towards the magical, you know. So you have like the fairies and things like that that you like, and mine are similar, but I love like witches and dragons and warlocks and wizards and all the magical things where you cast spells. And the strange thing though is that the thing with the witchcraft, if you will, in the wizardry world, is that it's all based off of nature, and nature requires balance. So
Yes.
when you're using magic, there's always something that gets sacrificed. So, you know, it's that kind of quandary that brings me right back into the human experience. But I love it. I love all the magic.
Same, same. I love seeing how all those characters come to life, and I've been a part of different groups that are practicing witches and seen what it looks like in real life versus like some of the whole romanticization that Hollywood is. But that's the thing, we're going there to be entertained. We're going there to see something kind of we're going there for a whole like body experience. And I feel like when you're practicing with nature and you're like part of like a spring ceremony or something, that's a whole different way that you get to experience it, but it's not going to necessarily look like the movies.
For sure. For sure. Okay, here's another question for you, keeping it somewhat lighthearted. If you had one dish, one thing to eat for the rest of your life, every single day, what would it be?
Chips and salsa.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
I know
Okay,
it's kind of
that's
two
good.
things, but they come usually together, so
Yeah. I wonder if I would ever get sick of. I've never eaten something so consistently that I'd gotten sick of it. When I was doing bodybuilding shows, there was a pretty set regimen for 16 weeks, but I would mix between chicken or salmon or turkey. That was usually, you know, so I had a small variety of meats, I guess, that I would eat, but you know, everything else was pretty fixed. My kids still laugh about the grilled chicken and broccoli. They were just like, God, it smelled so bad just because of broccoli.
Like, where's the flavor?
Yeah, I couldn't have any spices other than, I mean, you got creative. Like Mrs. Dash became my best friend. You know, I always say pizza would be my daily choice, but I'm afraid I'd get sick of it. It's my favorite food. I'd hate if I got sick of it because I love it so much.
Same. That would be my second favorite. And if we were allowed to change the toppings every day, then that would definitely be my runner-up choice.
Well, you think about all these different cultures have basically bread and cheese. You can't go wrong with that. You just throw on different ways of doing it, you know? So why not?
It's definitely fun to experiment with different sauces and stuff. And I know my partner Alan has exposed me to a whole different world of spices and seasoning and combinations. He's Persian Armenian, and so he's actually like in a certain kind of way has two cultures that he's drawing from as far as how he grew up and how he eats. And it is totally different. Like, they incorporate a lot of herbs with meals that I know is a part of the healthy digestion that we're missing in our Western diet. But it's very much just a part of their everyday experience and combination. There's definitely more of a mindfulness about eating for not only it to taste really good, but for the nutritional value that I feel like gets lost in our highly processed, only for the flavor, Western world.
Absolutely. Well, we talk about how we're all connected. Everything is connected, you know, and I'm kind of shifting to, I guess, getting a little more spiritual again, but our foods and what we wear and the things that we, the environments we are in, it's all very reflective. And if we can tune in, like I know that when I get dressed in the morning, I will, and I've granted I can change outfits 3 times a day, but what I do specifically is tune in to the energy of the day and then to the clientele that I know I'll be catering to or that I'll be serving. And I notice that, let's say, for in particular today, I'm wearing royal blue. Well, what is the essence of royal blue? What does that mean? And then the foods that I'm eating today, it's high protein, low carb, it's very clean. Some of the I'll even look at my spices and I'm like, yeah, you know what? Today I'm feeling the cumin and chili powder and kind of that fajita flavoring, if you will. So it's telling me it's gonna be a little spicy of a day kind of stuff. Do I want some peppers in there? You know, whatever. And so believe it or not, everything we're doing, if we're mindful of and conscious of it, we can really tune into the energy field and allow, for me, it allows me to be able to offer intuitive readings at an even deeper level for my clients.
Same. I feel me opening myself up to eat different foods has been revolutionary for me. From now I can cook better and I know like what goes together and what doesn't, and I also can be intuitively inspired to mix things that are great that I would have never trusted before if I wasn't following a recipe. And I also like I would I mean I would need I mean I still do this for the taste, but if I go to Taco Bell, it's a crunchy taco with no lettuce, so it's just cheese and meat. And they always ask me, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm sure." Or the hamburger, it's hamburger, cheese, ketchup, and mustard only. And people are always just like, "What? No lettuce, tomato, or onion?" I'm like, "Nope, leave it off." And I can have it with it, but for me, there's something about because that's how I had it as a kid, and that is reminiscent of a time where my tastes were locked in. But now having, more experience, it's great because, like I said, I can mix things together and pull in different seasonings and spices that I just, first off, never had worked with before, so I needed to work with them and taste them. But now, like you said, taking it to a whole other level, using my intuition and my creativity, it's really great.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and you know, tying it into where we're going the next 2, 3 weeks energetically, astrologically, is that we're really going to be invited to tune in even more to our intuition and watching how all of it is connected and feeds us and nurtures us and allows us to be the best version of ourselves. So Jay, we only have a couple minutes left, so I want this last question to be the big one. Ready? If we could know anything at all, if this was your last moment to say anything, what would it be for you?
Make sure you follow your heart and choose what is important to you, not what other people think is important to them.
I love that.
And, I get that we have to make sometimes sacrifices or compromise, but in general, I feel like it's very important to find your why and to live it, and to live it the best way you can. And I feel like that's where real joy, real satisfaction, real life satiation comes from, in my experience.
Love that. Love it. And you know, I will say that another practice that I'm reminded of just in this conversation. So thank you again for being here and conversing with me. I can tell you I'm not in a bad mood right now. So something shifted just having you here.
I love that. Yay.
but it also reminds me that one of the practices that I haven't done in a couple of days that I wanted that it will be really effective for me is to make this breath my last breath. And what if the next breath, next inhale is my last inhale? And just being in that space of how do I want to live? How do I want to have each experience, each moment? How do I want to experience it? And so just being so much more mindful with that. That helps me. It reminds me, I do have a choice. I may not be able to shift how I feel at times immediately, but I have a choice in what actions I take and the story I tell myself and the practice that I choose to do. So.
I love that because I feel like that. How can you not be brought back to that present moment with that practice? And it doesn't need to take hours to do that, especially with the hard work of putting hours into it. It just takes that moment, like you said, to get there, and how different it is when we do let ourselves be in that space.
I love it. Well, thank you again, Jay, for being here and give the audience the rundown of all that you're doing, where they can find you, all of that good stuff.
You can find me daily over on 12listen.com with Jamie. I'm usually on in the afternoons and evenings. And then I'm also on the radio with Carolyn on Mondays for Metaphysical Conversations, my own show, The Psychic Playground, on Wednesdays. And then I team up with my partner for a relationship show Wednesday night called Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. And then I do Backstage Pass with Raven on Thursdays, which is our interview style show that we get to interview all the personalities here at the 1-2 world, or in the 1-2 world, I should say. And speaking of our new advisor, Serena, she comes on after us with her show, but she's also going to be on Backstage Pass this Thursday. So you'll definitely want to check that out.
Yay, that's exciting. Thank you, thank you. It's so good to, like I say, play with you. And yes, you can come find both of us at 12listen and here at 12 Radio. I was excited to be live again. I'm sorry I missed you guys last week, but coming back from mystery school on Sunday night, there was just no way I was my schedule just blew up last week. Best laid plans, as they say. But I'm here today. And I know that Jay is going to provide a replay for us so you can listen again. And I do plan on being live again next Monday. So, anyways, come find me over at 12listen. I will be there most of the week. And if I'm not there, schedule an appointment or request a call or chat back. And so grateful that you are listening today. Thank you for joining Jay and I here on the Jamie Dawn Show. Stay tuned for all the other great programming. And we will talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much again, Jamie, for having me on.
Thanks, Jay.